Are we poised for a wholesale change in the car market? I mean, if you looked at how Rivian was trading yesterday and again today, maybe you might think so. Rick Newman is with us now. Rick, we were talking about this whole Rivian Tesla EV dynamic earlier in the show. And as Brian pointed out, Rivian's sort of trading like there are not going to be any gas cars maybe on the streets in 10 years. I don't know. What are some of your takeaways from the huge debut?
Well, first of all, it's not just Tesla anymore. So Rivian proves that this is an entire industry that investors just are dying to get into. I just did this valuation measurement. I added up the value of 9 big EOMs, 3 from Asia, 3 from Europe, and 3 from the United States. It's about $860 billion. And if you add up 7 EVs, Tesla and 6 others that haven't even sold cars yet, it's around $1.2, $1.3 trillion. So a few EV startups, including Tesla, are worth more than General Motors, Ford, Toyota, Nissan, Mercedes-Benz, and so on and so on. So what is going on there? And as I look into this, what has really changed in terms of the valuation of these companies is all those assembly lines, those internal combustion assembly lines, ICE, as they're known in the industry, ICE, those are now being viewed as a liability, even if those are turning out vehicles that are generating a lot of profit today, such as pickup trucks and SUVs. That looks like old infrastructure that's going to eventually have a negative value at some point. There's a lot of other stuff inside those old companies that go back 60, 80, 100 years that is just going to end up as a liability, whereas startups such as Rivian, they have none of that. It's all growth. And I think that explains why these companies are being valued so highly right out of the gate. That doesn't mean it's going to last. I mean, there could be something akin to the dot-com bust, from 21 years ago, where these companies that have never turned a profit, so probably not all of them are going to survive. But I think this explains why we're seeing these ginormous evaluations for companies that seem to be perched right on the edge of the electric vehicle wave.
Rick, you have followed the auto industry for some time. Maybe you could be the sanity check here to some of these early Rivian investors. Things inevitably go wrong when you're making cars, right? Especially when you're an upstart company like a Rivian.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I was a Tesla skeptic for a long time, not because I thought there was anything wrong with Tesla. I've always thought it's a remarkably innovative company. But I thought, the old automakers are the ones who really know how to bend the metal. They have the expertise in manufacturing. And I thought that was a major competitive advantage going into electric vehicles. You know what, Brian? I turned out to be wrong about that. Tesla had some horrible build quality problems, even with the Model 3. It's most popular vehicle right now. And guess what? Consumers didn't care. They bought the cars anyway. People were happy to be the first person to buy the car, even if the body panels didn't exactly fit and there were bugs. That is something that surprised me. So it feels to me like there's so much enthusiasm and momentum behind some of these new startups that some of those things that you think ought to matter from a business perspective just don't matter that much. One other important thing about Rivian is it is going to be selling a lot of vehicles into fleets, as well as to consumers. In fact, they could sell more vehicles to fleets than anybody else, which is why Amazon is interested. And that actually might be the best use case for electric vehicles, because fleets are the ones where they can build the charging stations where they need them. They know what the route is going to be. They know how much power they're going to have left. Whereas for consumers, you really at this point still can only buy an electric vehicle for the most part if it's your second vehicle, as long as you need to do things like road trips. But maybe it's going to be delivery and fleet applications where a lot of the growth is really going to happen during the next few years.
And it's interesting, Rick, to hear you talk about, some of these guys are not going to make it. We've already seen a couple of them that haven't quite made it, right? We've already seen the fallout from Nikola or from Lordstown, although Lordstown is up today because it had reached an agreement to sell its plant to Foxconn. But it's pretty clear here that Rivian is not, some guy hiding inside the car pushing it up a hill, for example. It seems like the cars are real and they actually work. And it seems to me that people are looking at the example of Tesla, which I don't think you were wrong on Tesla. They had a really hard time making cars for a while. Yeah. And the stock had a really tough time for a while also. But I guess if people are looking at Tesla as the template here, they're saying, okay, so even if Rivian does have a tough time, if Tesla is the analog and I buy it now and it has a tough time and then does what Tesla has done, if I'm a long-term holder, I'm still in good shape.
That's right. And I think you also have to think about people who are spreading their bets around. So let's say you bet on 10 of these stocks right now and five of them fail, but one of them turns out to be a Tesla. I think you're still miles ahead. So this is another thing another difference between startups and established legacy companies that have been around for decades is that in startups, they're willing to take risks, and investors in startups expect those companies to take risks, and they ought to know the consequences of taking those risks, which is sometimes the company is just going to fail, or sometimes it's going to struggle more than expected. And in the OEMs, it's just very hard to take risks because that's not the way those companies are structured. So I think that explains why there is such a vast difference in valuations among these companies. I don't know if it makes sense. I don't think anybody knows if it makes sense. We've seen a lot of very smart investors who tried to short Tesla along the way because they thought it was overvalued. They all got burned. Short interest in Tesla is way down. There are going to be shorts in some of these other companies. There will be some failures. There will be some shorts who make some money on it, but there are probably going to be a bunch of longs who make a lot more money than the shorts.
Rick, this is Emily. Again, using Rivian as an example here, I mean, Amazon has really served as a major stamp of approval for this company with the company's stake in it, with the ordering 100,000 vehicles from Rivian. But if you're an investor looking at some of these indicators, is that kind of stamp of approval something that investors should be looking at? Because, I mean, again, there aren't necessarily a lot of fundamentals to go on here, but is that perhaps going to be giving a false sense of security when you have a big name like this attached to the company?
Well, it's a sense of security for sure. And, all EV companies are not even remotely the same. I mean, they vary by quite a lot. The CEO of Rivian is an MIT grad who has been doing this for a long time. I think he has developed a lot of credibility in the business. I think that's why Amazon is investing. And when you see a huge company like Amazon investing, and by the way, Amazon is not just investing in Rivian as a venture. They actually want to buy the product. So it's not just that there's a credible investor there. There's a huge customer there as well. And I think that tells you that Amazon is investing in this company for the long haul because they want the product. So Amazon has a real stake in seeing this company succeed. It's not just sitting on the sidelines or taking a couple of board seats. They actually need the product for their own business. So that probably makes it a good bet because, you know, the biggest retailer in the world needs this company to succeed for its own purposes. So I think that goes a long way toward explaining why Rivian is, brand new to the market this year, is now worth as much as General Motors, which has been around for 100 years.
We'll see if it lasts. All right. Thanks so much, Rick Newman. Appreciate it.